This is Art Musings with Love from Oxford, a podcast where we natter with local artists, learn about their process, their work, and delve deep into their creative, emotional, and business challenges. Basically, the juicy bits, the dark underbelly of being an artist. I'm Carol Terrio, an Oxford-based watercolorist and podcaster.
And I'm Sally Ann Stewart, a lino cut printmaker who loves depicting the beautiful city we live in. And we're kicking off our art careers and hoping to learn a few tips and tricks from those around us. We're hoping you might like to join us. Allons-y.
Allons-y.
So today on Art Musings, Carol and I are thrilled to be speaking with the incredibly talented Josie Clouting, an Oxfordshire landscape artist inspired by wild and ancient places. Josie's paintings are rich in colour, expressive, free and bold, and she's received numerous awards for her work. Now, I'm an avid follower of Josie's work via social media, and I can't wait to find out more about her practice and some of the places that have inspired her amazing paintings.
Totally. On Art Musings, we like to ask our guests to choose a topic related to their art life. One that we can dig into, and Josie selected building an art community. And this is something that Sally and I are both keen to do as well, probably the main reason we started creating this podcast, Art Musings. I currently work on my own in my studio space, which is actually our household dining room, which I've somehow taken over. What about you, Sally?
Yeah, so I'm on my own as well. I've got a studio at the bottom of our garden, which is great because it's a very short commute. But because it's through the garden, I do sometimes get quite distracted by plants and cats and what's going on in the pond, looking at frogs and things. So
inspiration, yeah. I call that.
Yeah, definitely. But Josie recently joined Ayres House Studios in Wallingford. Now, if you don't know, Wallingford's a town about 10 miles south of Oxford, and Josie's going to be showcasing her work along with the other artists there at an upcoming winter exhibition. So she's working and painting alongside other artists as she prepares for the show.
I'm looking forward to learning about what that's like, because on one hand, I imagine you can have a giggle and you can borrow stuff if you run out. But on the other, if someone's like, I used to have a work colleague, she was an opera singer on the side, and she would always sing opera to herself, like, oh my God, I can't believe I made that mistake. You know, it drove me absolutely batty. So I wonder if there's any of that stuff happening to Josie. Do you think it's time that we meet her?
Yes, definitely. Josie Clouting, welcome to Art Musings.
Hi both, thank you very much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Josie, brilliant that you're here. Let me just plug your socials and website. So listeners, if you would like to check out Josie Clouting's colourful artworks while we chat, you can either visit her website at josephineclouting.com, or you can check out her Instagram at josiecltg. That's at Josie CLTG. Now let's dive in.
So let's start by asking you, have you always been arty, and did you get a lot of support from your family with your art when you were growing up?
Yeah, I did actually. Both my parents are creative.
What do they do?
Well, my mum is a fine artist as well. Probably about 8 or 9, around that age, she was studying a degree in fine art. So that was a huge influence on me. And my dad, he's always been creative, and more recently, since he's retired, he's taken up woodworking, and he makes sort of bespoke commissions. So I was very, very lucky with my upbringing.
So was that your favorite thing at school, art?
Yeah, I was always interested in it. It came sort of naturally, and it was always a space, particularly at secondary school. We had this lovely art department, and there was a little room on the side that was for the sixth formers, and we just used to hang out there. Me and my friends used to hang out there all the time. It was lovely. Just sort of carried on from there, really.
How would your parents have reacted if you had said, look, what I really want to do is be an accountant? That's my dream job.
I think they would have been extremely surprised. Maths and numbers and things has never been a strength of mine. So
mine neither.
I know the feeling. So was there lots of art stuff around at home for you to get your hands on?
Yeah, so we always had a lot of materials. I remember one Christmas present was a set of colouring pencils. I just loved all the colours and, you know, kind of picking different combinations and, sketching with it.
Yeah. How did you come to be based in Oxfordshire? Because you're not from here, are you?
Well, so I moved here about 2 years ago from Maidenhead. It was a bit random, actually. We lived in a one-bed flat. And at the time I had a shared studio in an old shopping centre in at 124 Studios, which is still there. And they're a fab bunch of people.
Shout out.
That was brilliant, having that extra space. And I couldn't have worked from home. There just wasn't the room for it. So, but we knew we needed somewhere a bit bigger. We started looking in Oxfordshire villages and found Cholsey. And found the house that we liked that had a garden, so we knew we could potentially build a studio space there for me. So and we love it.
Are you a studio baby, or do you like being a painting outdoors?
Both, actually.
Cool.
No, I absolutely love my studio, but it is really nice to get out as well, and especially when I'm exploring new places out on holiday and things, I always take my sketchbook along.
Do you enjoy traveling? Does it inspire you in terms of art?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I try and kind of go to places that I know, you know, are mountainous and interesting and things like that, and have water or by the coast, and because it's, you know, places that I know I'll probably get a lot of inspiration from for my work back in the studio as well. So luckily they're the places that my boyfriend Rory likes to.
What are your favourite places?
Well, we recently went to Norway, so that was sort of on our bucket list for many years.
So did you do sort of some hardcore hiking kind of thing?
Well, yeah, not as much as we intended to, because we both got COVID.
Oh, no.
Oh, nightmare.
And that was the first time I had it as well, and I felt really rough. Yeah, so half the holiday was spent in the apartment, which, yeah, luckily had nice views over the fjord.
A good place to convalesce.
Yeah, exactly. And then when we started to feel a bit better and we weren't going to kind of spread anything around, we ventured out and did day trips. And then we saved a glacier walk to the end of the holiday, where we were hoping we were slightly fitter. But online, we were looking at the tourist information centre. We were looking at suitable walks, and this one said it was a moderate walk. But it was so difficult. There were the proper kind of steep sections.
For a Norwegian.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Norwegians must be very fit.
Well, a lot of them are quite tall, right? And I think their leg span is much longer than the average other person's. Should we talk about your painting? Because it's amazing. I want to know landscapes. That's your muse?
Yes, yeah. I tend to take a lot of photographs when I'm out and about, and then we'll work from some sketches and the photographs of places that I've visited.
But that's an incredible thing. So if our listeners are looking at your work right now, like, you have such a free, expressive, like, you would never think it was from a photograph. Or I bet if you showed the original photograph or the photographs that inspired the painting, they'd be so different, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, people tend to ask if I see those colours. I do, really. I mean, I don't kind of make up the colours. I am responding to what is there. And I think a lot of people think, because they're so vibrant, I'm just kind of pulling those colours out of my head.
Have you always been able to see those colours in landscapes, or is that something that's developed with your artistic practice?
Probably a bit of both, actually. I mean, at university, my work was very different. It was quite abstract. So more recently, I was thinking, well, even then, my work was about the landscape. I just perhaps didn't make that connection. Definitely, it's sort of evolved. And more recently, I've started using oil paints as opposed to acrylics. And that is quite a different way of working. And it's quite, there's so much to learn. I feel like I'm just a beginner again, really. But I kind of like that in a way. It's a medium where there's so much to explore. Do you find that, Sally, with printmaking as well?
don't, honestly, I look at other people's work and I think, how the heck, you know, do you achieve those effects? And other forms of printmaking as well are still, you know, a mystery to me, really. And, you know, I'd like to explore them. So I need to kind of look into some courses. But I mean, things like screen printing, etching, I've got absolutely no idea how they work. But I love the, you know, the effects that people achieve. So I'd love to give some of those a go. But I still, even with linocut, I feel there's still so much that I don't know. And you look at really established people, the planning and how the colours interact with one another. So yeah, I still feel like I've got a very long way to go, which can be intimidating. But then, you know, I guess it's just about giving yourself time to mess around and make mistakes, which I'm not very good at handling sort of mentally. I'm trying to get away from my perfectionism and wanting everything to be in a nice, neat box, and still learning that it's okay to mess up and make mistakes.
You should try watercolor. You make one mistake, that's done. It's gone. Like, there's no save it. Actually, it's the same in lino print, isn't it? You make one carving the wrong way, it changes everything.
Yeah. I mean, it can, yeah, there is that kind of, yeah, scary element of it, that if you chop something out, you can't really bring it back, particularly if it's fallen on the floor amongst all the other bits of lino and you can't even find it and glue it back in. We wanted to talk about your style. So as we've said, your paintings are so expressive and really dramatic looking, and they all seem to sing from the same hymn sheet. You know, you've got this really distinct style. Is that something that you've worked hard on?
Not consciously, if that makes sense. I think it's just a case of giving yourself time to actually play. I think that's quite important, really, that rather than setting out to make work with the intention of finding your own style, I think that's a lot of pressure.
Definitely.
And yeah, I think it just comes over time. I mean, sometimes I kind of think, oh, that feels very different to what I normally do, but I might look back and think, actually, later on, no, it does still work with the other collection or the latest series or something like that. So, but also it's nice to kind of play around sometimes with a new subject matter or new materials, just to have a change.
I
have a lot of issues with this issue, you know, this concept, because I know it could be its own podcast, really, but I have a lot of people that come over and see my work, like, in an uncurated fashion. So not at a show where you have a theme, maybe, that's walking through your works. But, you know, at my house, you know, in the pile that I've got that I've been working on, I'm like, God, oh, these are so different from each other. They're so, you know, you'd hardly know it's the same artist. And I take that two different ways, right? Like, I feel like I've got a breadth, but I also feel like, what are you saying? I have no style? I have no voice? So I don't know how to deal with that one.
I think you've just got to stay true to what you're interested in at the time. I think that always comes across in the work. If you're kind of just making the same thing over and over, you know, your interest will eventually kind of fade. And then I don't think the work is as good as well. So I think it's okay to have different areas and different themes within your work.
Well, I'm glad. I'm going to take that to heart. Now, you're pretty celebrated. You've got awards and accolades under your belt, including the Royal Academy Summer Exhibition, right? That's very exciting. Congratulations. Yeah. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, thank you. I think that sort of links to the theme as well, actually, in a way, because a friend from a life drawing class I used to go to encouraged me to submit a piece for that. And it was the first time I'd ever submitted work for the summer exhibition. So I was absolutely amazed that I got through the first round and then again the second round. So,
because people try for years to get in, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I haven't got in since. but I'll keep trying. You never know, do you? Like, sometimes you need a bit of a push from friends. And
how many paintings did you enter?
Just the one. Yeah, I just entered that one.
Just one.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. It's quite a strange experience because obviously I'd heard about the varnishing day and everything like that comes with.
Oh, can you explain varnishing day to me? Because I've seen that name and I have no idea what it means. What's being varnished?
Oh, so it comes from the tradition at the Royal Academy of many, many years ago. The artists, because they mostly worked in oil, And because it takes so long to dry, I mean, I may have this wrong, but they would put up the works and it would take a long time for the paint to dry. So then they would all go in and varnish them later on. Which I don't know, I'm guessing they kind of did on the same day or something. And then it became a bit of a celebration.
It's glorious. I love that idea. So nice.
So yeah, it's really cool. It's a nice way to celebrate the start of an exhibition, actually. But the year that I got in was 2020. So the summer exhibition was actually in the winter. It wasn't the normal celebration, because I think they normally, do they all go to a church first and have some speeches or something like that? And then it's like a more of a traditional private view. But this was just the artists and everybody had masks. And yeah, so it was a bit of a different experience. But
yeah,
still great that they still held an in-person thing that year.
Well, yeah, and that they made the time for that show, because I imagine their whole sort of schedule was thrown out of how it was planned.
And what was the piece that of yours that was in it?
It was a painting of lily pads, which was actually from a photograph that I took at the Oxford Botanic Gardens.
Did you have that one in the Oxford Art Society exhibition as well?
Yeah, it was a square piece, a bit smaller, but again from the same, I forgot the name of the glass house there. Is it just?
I think it's just the Water Lily House, that one.
Yeah, I was going to say Water Lily, and then I thought, oh no, is it not that? But anyway, yes, it was inspired by there as well.
Yeah, so, it's absolutely stunning. We'll have to add a link to that in the show notes so people can see.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
And now, what are you focused on right now? What project has you by the jugular?
At the moment, I'm actually working on a commission, but once I finish that, I think I'll be, I don't know, I've still got a few ideas from Norway at Ayers House Studios. I had an exhibition there recently that finished in September that was a collection of paintings all inspired by the waterfalls in Norway.
Wow.
And I was actually there in the gallery room working while the exhibition was on, which was really fun.
Oh, I saw some of your videos from that.
Oh, did you? Yeah, it was really great, actually.
Yeah.
Doing some experimenting and some monoprints there. I've got a few more ideas of images I'd like to work from, and so I may carry that on for a bit and then see where that takes me.
Fantastic. How do you feel about moving on to building an art community?
That'd be great to have a chat about that.
Cool. Okay. So it's a topic that's dear to our hearts. But as we said at the opening of the show, I can imagine there are some challenges too. So what first made you decide to not work on your own and to join other artists and work in a space with them?
Well, I think that was due to lack of space at home, basically, in Maidenhead. I knew I needed another space to work in. So I met this lovely group of artists. I used to work at an art shop there in Maidenhead, and we all managed to set up the artist studios in this old shop unit, which has kind of moved locations throughout Maidenhead town centre throughout the years.
And can I ask, Josie, how did you end up in a shopping centre? Was that sort of
cost effective?
Yeah, fair space. Was it out of necessity?
Yeah, I mean, basically it was a large space that was available. The manager of the shopping centre, she was really helpful and gave us this space that wasn't being used. So we knew that we would have to get out if another shop wanted to rent the space. Yeah, I mean, there's so many spaces in Maidenhead, like many town centres, I think, really. There's so many unused spaces that really any artist group could potentially work with the council and go in until these spaces, you know, have another shop coming in. So
we should do that, Sally. Should do that.
There are a lot in Oxford, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, there are everywhere. It's quite sad, but I mean, it's space that could be used. I think working together is just so much easier in terms of the logistics of kind of organizing those kind of things, as well as exhibitions as well. So having a community and being able to share ideas and skills and creating opportunities is just really, really important. So that's where it started, was in Maidenhead. And then since moving to Cholsey, I signed up to do Oxfordshire Art Weeks. Once the studio was built in the garden, I thought, right, I've got to sign up to that. And then, because I didn't know anybody, so I thought, all right, that's a good way to meet other artists. And it was great, because that was my main reason for doing it, was for meeting other artists in the area. I met lots of people. It was really, really lovely. And then through that, I met Emma at Ayres House Studios in Wallingford. And as you mentioned before, I'm now an associate member. So I have my studio at home, but I join up with another group of artists at Ayres House once a month. And we catch up about all sorts of arty things. And we have a group exhibition there. So it's been brilliant.
You know, Sally was my very first arty friend in the hood, actually.
That can't be true.
It is.
Can it?
Yeah. I mean, I have ones, but they're, you know, around the world, but not here.
So how did you both meet?
Through another friend. Actually, can I tell the story? It's very funny. I was in a local cafe. I don't even know if you know this, Sally, but I was in a local cafe, right? Having a coffee, and I was with a girlfriend of mine. And I was looked up on the wall, and there was Sally's works, right? And I was like, damn her. She's so good. And she has this spot. I want my art one day up there. I love it. And then my friend turned and goes, oh, I know her. She's super nice. And I said, do you? I want to meet her. And that's how it started. And we got on right away.
I've been relentlessly caffeinating ourselves talking art at various local cafes ever since.
There's a really big difference, isn't there, between people like friends and family that are maybe supportive or not, but who don't do art themselves versus those that do art, isn't there, Josie?
Yes, that's why you need other artists, isn't it? Because people often don't have that support at home or with their other friends who may not quite get what they're doing and their strange kind of working hours and things. So it's nice to have other like-minded people to share that with, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly different from a normal 9 to 5. How much of your time, Josie, is spent creating, and how much do you have to give over to things like, you know, marketing and art admin and that kind of thing?
The boring stuff.
Yeah, I know. That is always more time than I think it's going to be. So I'd say it's probably about 50-50. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the marketing and social media and newsletters and things like that. And over the winter, I'm going to do a website update as well. So I'm preparing that to be quite a long, difficult task, but I just need to get started. But yeah, when I first decided to give art a proper go, I didn't realise it would be so much time on the computer. I don't know if you both find that as well.
Yeah,
I feel exactly the same. Yeah,
it's like, let me hurt my wrist painting, not typing.
Yeah.
But I think I think it was a ceramicist, someone quite successful, I can't remember their name, but they spent something like, I think, 4 days a week on all the admin, sales, marketing, all that kind of thing, and one day a week on the creative stuff, just because that's what it takes to make a living. Wow. Which is terrifying, but I mean, it's all got to be done to push yourself out there.
What do you both find, how do you kind of split your time?
Well, just ignores all that stuff
currently. Yeah, but I'm building a podcast, right? That's something. I do Oxford Art Weeks. I'm trying to get into the Oxford Art Society, as is Sally right now, you know, so I'm doing those things. But really, on the selling front, I'm not a full-time artist. I'm still getting my mortgage and all my bills paid through podcasting on other shows. So I paint a lot.
Yeah, you take part in art weeks, but you prioritize the art when you have that time, don't you?
Yeah.
And it does, like, you're not, right, I've got to do this boring social media post before I can get on with what I'm passionate about. You get up in the morning and you just start painting, which is, yeah, sounds delightful.
No, but literally at the end of the year, though, when I want to update my website, because I only used to or still do only once a year, I then have to like iron 100 paintings and flatten them and sign them and then clean them off in case there's any pencil marks or anything like that. And then, you know, label them, database them, and it's 2 months of hell. Wait till you see me go through that next year. It's hilarious.
Like we said, you know, people don't realize all that stuff that goes along with it. So that's like you said, Josie, why it's important to have people that share those challenges.
Yeah. Does it take some of the burden off having people around? Does it make the job easier to do all the marketing and selling stuff? Because presumably you can share that with the others.
Yeah, I think so. In my experience, it is, and generally, it's kind of more fun when you've got people to bounce ideas off and share it all with. On the one hand, I think it's less pressure because you are sharing everything. But on the other hand, you know, you want to do as good as make the exhibition as good as it can be, because you want everyone else to be able to sell their work, and you want lots of visitors, and you want it to be worthwhile for them as well.
Yeah, you've got a responsibility to other people all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly.
And their success as well, you get to share in the successes, right? Which is really nice, because if they sell something, even if you don't, you love them, you're working with them, and you know what they've struggled to get where they are. And it's like a real hurrah moment, I imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
So cool.
You never know what comes of these things later on. So even if you don't sell a work, an exhibition or something, you never know who's seen it or who might pass on your details to somebody else. And but you never know what will happen in the future.
If someone was listening right now, feeling perhaps a bit lonely, what first steps would they do to try and build a community from your experience?
You've just got to try and find where other artists are. I think in terms of, for me, I looked up Oxfordshire Art Weeks when I moved into Cholsey from Maidenhead, and that was a brilliant way. So yeah, definitely looking up arts trails, and there's nearly always something going on in towns and different counties. So there's that, looking up art classes and seeing who's around and just sending people a message. And I think it's always lovely to hear from other artists. Keep it all sort of lighthearted and meet for a coffee or something like that. I think it can be a little bit intimidating going into galleries and trying to meet people that way.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So I think definitely arts trails and open studios are a nice way to kind of meet people who are sort of potentially going through the same things that you are, without feeling so much pressure that, you know, I think sometimes the idea of networking can be a bit scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives me a visceral shudder to think, even the word networking.
well, this is it. I think it feels a bit like networking makes you think, oh, you should be approaching people who are maybe a bit further on in their career than you are. But actually, I think it's just a case of, I mean, it's sort of everything, really. You know, it's just meeting other people that you can connect with and potentially going through similar thing that you are.
Yeah. I want to, let me pitch an idea to you both. Like Sally and I, we talked about this already, but what if we set up like, you know, a meetup, for example, once a month in Oxford somewhere at a pub, and just say anyone who's like either been part of the show or listens to the show or is an artist and wants to meet other artists, we can be there for a few hours, right? And say hi. And it's a really casual environment where everyone can just kind of come in and meet everybody. Would you come to that, Josie, maybe?
That would be fantastic. Yeah.
Wouldn't
be
it?
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay.
And I've had that conversation with at least two other people who've said it would be great to do something.
Yeah, well, and let's do it under the Art Musings banner. Why not?
Time steamrollers on but that would be great.
Super. Well, Josie, thank you so much for talking to us. It's been amazing. Your work is just really inspiring and free and colorful and beautiful. And I encourage every single listener to go check it out. You can check it out on her website. That's josephineclouding.com. Or you can go to her Instagram, JosieCLTG.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on. It's been lovely chatting to you both.
Yeah, no, totally. It's a really wonderful thing. Like, this is one of the great things. Like, it's been a lot of work pulling this show together. But this is the reward, right? You get to have this kind of really open conversation where you're not in a market having to deal with other people. You can just talk. And it's really nice. So thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, can you tell us quickly, Josie, about the when your winter exhibition is?
Oh, yes, please, yeah.
Oh, so that's, yeah, so that's a group show for which will include the members of Ayrshouse Studios and also the associates. So, yeah, so there'll be lots of work and lots of kind of gifty items as well.
Great.
So, yeah, I'm really excited about it. And that's from the 1st to the 17th of December at Ayrshouse Studios in Wallingford.
Fantastic.
We'll have a link in the show notes to that, and we'll also put a link up on our Instagram.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Art Musings with Love from Oxford, with Sally Ann Stewart and Carole Terrio. If you like what you hear, subscribe to Art Musings wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at Art Musings Oxford to see our brand new artworks and find out where we'll be next, so you can come and say hi in person.
And we are wanting to reach out to as many artists and art lovers as possible. But we have a mountain to climb before any algorithms on the digisphere know we exist. So the thing is you can help us out, and it's easy peasy. Here's how. One, you can tell your arty friends about Art Musings. Two, subscribe to the show. And if you like what you hear, let us know. And you can do that by leaving any thought or questions or comment in the review section wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. And three, we are hunting for Oxford artists to interview. If that's you, get in touch with us via Instagram. And that's at Art Musings Podcast.
And finally, cheers for being here. It means the world to us.
It does. Join us in a few weeks where we interview the head honcho of Oxfordshire Art Weeks, Esther Lafferty. That's going to be a good one. Thank you, Josie.
Oh, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
And I'm definitely going to come along to the winter exhibition.
Me too.
Carole, let's do a trip.
You'll be my hot date.
Okay.
Oh, Brooke, I need to have a chat with Emma actually and catch up, see when the private view will be. So I'll send you all the details.
Oh, we would love that.
That would be amazing. And it would be just nice to have a bit of time to catch up with you as well, right? And
Yeah, I love your idea of having a general meetup evening or something like that.
Definitely. Yeah.